up new live is Valentine's Day from the nation's capital here in Washington, D.C., and we've got an awful lot to talk about this evening. But before I forget, the toll-free number, if you want to call into the show, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Well, we've had an interesting week here in the nation's capital. We've had another nominee for Secretary of Commerce withdraw his name from contention. I suppose that Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, and Judd Gregg, the Republican senator from New Hampshire, may have looked at the tea leaves and figured out why be Secretary of Commerce when the economy looks so dismal, that commerce is tanking in the United States, along with, it seems, everything else, jobs, home, mortgages, the stock market, you name it. And it's probably a thankless task to become the Secretary of Commerce in this administration. But there's more to this, Judd Gregg. When I first heard that President Obama was nominating him for Secretary of Commerce, it reminded me of an old story about Judd Gregg, specifically his wife, and something that had happened just a week before here in Washington, D.C., that took law enforcement off of another major story and put it on a bizarre story concerning Judd Gregg's wife, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Also, this awful plane crash, this commuter continental flight that was en route from Newark Airport in New Jersey to Buffalo, crashed into a home just before landing, and killed in that plane crash were Beverly Eckert, a widow, a 9/11 widow whose husband died in the South Tower, and Allison DeForge, who I've met before at Harvard University at a seminar, and she has recently been more of a vocal critic about a U.S.-backed dictator in Central America, and this was a very convenient, well, two convenient losses for a lot of people, but specifically in the case of Ms. DeForge, the person who she was criticizing, Paul Kagame, the dictator of Rwanda, a small country with a hideous past, thanks mostly to the United States and its involvement in that part of the world. This U.S.-backed is known to assassinate his critics and political opponents, and he'll send his people far into other countries to take that action. And we'll talk about that. I mean, Kagame has been a subject of one book that I've written, and a major subject in another book I've written. He's somebody who should be in prison in The Hague. He should be undergoing war crimes trial, but because he's a U.S. dictator, as are so many, he gets a pass from the International Criminal Court. But we'll talk about that as well in the program. Again, if you'd like to call the program, the toll-free number is 800-313-9443. Well, we've got the stimulus package. We'll talk about that, but we will be right back after this short break. This is Wayne Madsen, Washington, D.C. Nader withdrawal, $4,000 in cash. She said she bolted out of the door. There's another report she went in and you know, why didn't she just, the bank tellers, look, I've just been held up, these two guys. This was the most bizarre story. But what happened was the Fairfax County Police here in Virginia devoted all their attention to that incident and nothing to the to what happened with Marvin Bush and his maid. This was an absolutely bizarre incident. So when I heard Chuck Gregg was going to be the Commerce Secretary, I remembered this incident with Marvin Bush's maid, and this is just, why would Obama pick this guy? I'm not saying Judge Gregg had anything to do with it, but I am suggesting that the incident with Mrs. Gregg took the media's attention and the police attention off of the death of an assistant to the brother of the President of the United States. And with the Bush family, you cannot count out any possibility with these people. This is a criminal family. This is a criminal syndicate. These people make the Sopranos look like Ozzy and Harriet Nelson, for those of you who might remember that old show on television. But I'm telling you, why Obama would just bring these people in, the Gregg incident is from the dark days of the Bush administration. I'm really very disappointed in Obama. I supported him, and then we had this plane crash where two people who were a threat to certain people in this country around the world were victims. I have a feeling that there's still a cloud hanging over Washington. We didn't get rid of this with, the Bush and Cheney regime. We still seem to have this infestation, this disease here in the nation's capital. And I feel very ill at ease. And, you got to ask the question, when is it going to end? It certainly doesn't seem that it ended with Bush and Cheney. And Cheney did leave town. He's still here. He lives in McLean, Virginia. But anyway, let's go to the phones. We've got Ruth hanging on in Chicago. Ruth, welcome to the Saturday Roundup. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Several things. One, with the murder of Miss Eckert from the 911 survivors, who was pushing for a new investigation as well as an investigation of the Guantanamo prisoners, why they were being blamed for 911. Will that be the end of the call for a new investigation for 911? Now, my second point is Marvin Bush. Marvin Bush has a company called Chatterjee Associates, which specializes in offshoring U.S. jobs, as well as being an investment banker.
That's right.
The reason I called is everybody's got an issue. And there's one that's bothering me that is not showing up on the news anywhere. And that's the banks are not loaning any money for farmers to buy seed or fertilizer to plant new crops this spring. And if they can't get loans to plant, that's going to make a severe shortage of food.
Yes.
Now, that in itself might not be the end of the world, but you have to remember that U.S. aid, we send money, but the stipulation is it's used to buy our crops in return.
Exactly.
And then also, our trade agreements specify the same thing. It's going to bring up an issue of where whatever crops we can grow this year will go. Will they go offshore for trade agreements and aid agreements, or will whatever's food they are able to grow wind up on the tables, and why can't the banks find money to get the farmers planting the crops so we can have food on the table this year?
Exactly, and the banks, if the banks are saying they don't have any money, I don't know what they're talking about. After all,
they probably don't. It probably went to Tel Aviv, Switzerland, or the Cayman Islands. There's something else I should remind you of. This new stimulus bill, they can sell your private medical records. The government can, to research organizations without your permission.
Right. Right.
You might
want
to keep a note of that.
Let me mention, too, the Israeli election. We now have, it looks like it's going to be this Netanyahu, this crazy right-winger, and worse. You can't actually get worse than Netanyahu. This Avigdor Lieberman.
He's just short of Attila the Hun, right?
Yes, it's their Lieberman as opposed to our Lieberman. In this case, they have the worst Lieberman. if that's possible, but they do. Avigdor Lieberman
pack them both up and send them somewhere.
Right. Well, Avigdor Lieberman is from Moldova, which we all know is a nexus for this Russian-Israeli mafia. This
Moldova,
country is...
I thought it was the Ukraine.
Well, no, he's an emigre to Israel from Moldova. Now, Moldova was basically one of the major headquarters for this guy, Viktor Bout, who is now in jail in Thailand, but he was an arms smuggler. He worked for the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and then he started working for us in Iraq.
He's trying to stay in Thailand and stay alive.
Yes, because if he comes over here and he's extradited to this country, he knows too much. He'll wind up like so many others.
DOA.
Exactly. But this guy, now it's being suggested that this guy Lieberman, Avigdor Lieberman, had received an awful lot of money as an international business consultant, quote unquote, from abroad. I just wonder how much Bernie Madoff's money. I think we're gonna find out an awful lot about this guy in the near future. But $50 billion does not disappear; it goes somewhere. It's not like a magician. It's not David Copperfield here, where he makes $50 billion just disappear. That was real money that he stole. And now we have another case. It could be another monumental Ponzi scheme involving a guy named Alan Stanford. This guy in Houston, friend of the Bush family, who basically has invested and used a lot of offshore accounts in the island of Antigua in the Caribbean, where he got the governor general to actually give him a knighthood. So he goes around and calls himself Sir Alan Stanford. He said he's a descendant of the Stanford who founded Stanford University. Of course, he's such a person. You have to wonder, is Stanford really this guy's last name? I'm sure it was changed something that probably sounds rather Eastern European in nature. But anyway, so we have another potential huge Ponzi scheme out of Houston, and this one is a lot closer to the Bush family than even Madoff. But Ruth, hold on after the break, and we'll discuss some of the other issues you brought up. This is Wayne Madsen from Washington, D.C.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Madsen with Wayne Madsen Report, the Saturday Roundup. Coming to you live tonight. It's about after Friday the 13th, which fortunately was uneventful. Of course, not so for those people who died in that plane crash in Buffalo, which is starting to look more and more suspicious. Ruth, are you still with us on the line from Chicago? Well,
And then I'll answer if I can. I have one comment about Phil Graham. You remember him from UBS?
Yes.
UBS, U.S. representative for offshoring secret accounts.
Right.
Through Switzerland.
Yes,
well,
I'm
wondering if Bernie Madoff was one of his clients.
Well, I think we're gonna see a lot more information coming out. And I have to say another thing about one of my favorites, George Soros. See George Soros like really criticizing Bernie Madoff. Why is it that every time there's a scandal, it's George Soros who is the first one to start criticizing whatever's going on, when I feel that he is ultimately one of the people who's at the top of this illegal pyramid of money laundering and stock manipulation and monetary unit currency manipulation? You know, he's starting to, you know, the police, when there's arson, right? They always, there's always somebody that will show up at the scene of the fire. It's when they see these civilians showing up all the time at these scenes of the fire, they say, you know, one of the you know, it, oftentimes these people are the arsonists. They're the ones who set the fire. They show up to see the fruits of their work. And I'm starting to think that George Soros, with all of his bloviating, and he comes out first to talk about what Madoff did. And
protesting too much?
Yeah, I think he may be protesting too much, yes.
Or maybe he got religion?
I doubt that. What we know about Mr. Soros is he's always been a very devious individual. Back to the time when he and his father were turning Hungarian Jews in to the local Gestapo to be shipped away, you know, he claims he was a survivor of the Holocaust, if you can believe
that. I'm really surprised he isn't in The Hague, because he literally took down how many countries in the Far East.
Thailand.
By betting against them.
Thailand, Malaysia, and also
Philippines.
The Philippines, and he also made a run on the British pound in 1992.
That's true. Which, the white cat in The Hague.
Exactly. And I think when we start to peel away this onion, we're going to see that, you know, there's very few people who had their hands.
Does he live in McLean? Does he live in McLean, Virginia, also?
You know, a lot of people have homes in McLean, and they may not live there, but I know he lives in New York. He spends an awful lot of time here in Washington. Of course, he also spent a lot of time in London with his friends, the Rothschild family over there. But I think now we got to look at this guy, Alan Stanford, and he basically got these sweetheart deals in Antigua because the U.S. ambassador to Antigua was a woman named Mary Orsman, whose husband is a big auto dealer here in the Maryland suburbs of Washington, D.C. Everyone who lives around here has always heard about Orsman Chevy and Orsman, these Orsman car dealers. And Orsman, of course, the both of them were heavy contributors to George W. Bush. So I think we're going to see a lot more connections between these criminals and as we find out.
Well, car dealers are in trouble lately, so you wouldn't be surprised to see what will ooze up to the top.
Exactly. And getting back to this, you know, the death of Beverly Eckert and Alison DeForge in this plane crash in Buffalo, of course, Beverly Eckert just met Barack Obama with survivors of the victims of families of the victims' families of 9/11, also those of the USS Cole bombing just last week. I've written that the last chapter has not been written about the USS Cole either. There's a lot of information there that has never been released, and I just wonder whether was this some sort of message to Obama not to be certain.
Was she the driving force behind the 911 group?
She was one of them. I met several of these widows. 11. You've heard of the Jersey Girls? They were really tough. And took a lot of criticism from the right wing when they came out and called for an investigation. But, this was a very convenient. I didn't talk much about Africa and DeForge going after Paul Kagame. Alison DeForge's quote about what was going on in Africa with these mining companies and these mercenary armies coming in there was in the Washington Post the morning after she went up. So just a very bizarre turn of events where she went after Kagame, our dictator in Rwanda and Central Africa, whose troops have invaded the Congo. And it just is a very, very strange turn.
Remember, they've discovered oil in the Congo on the lake.
Yes, Ruth, thanks for calling in. It's good for you to join the show. We'll be back right after this short break. This is Wayne Manson from D.C.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Manson with Wayne Manson from the Saturday Roundup coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C. And before we go back to our callers holding on, let's listen to a couple of news reports about a couple of plane crashes we've had recently. If we can, we'll listen to this report about what happened in Buffalo the other evening, if we have that clip ready to go.
Confirmed that it was flight 3407 from Newark to Buffalo. The home, we're being told from witnesses that live right near there, is completely gone. And there are some remnants, obviously, of the plane there. Several people have been taken to ECMC. Chris Collins, the Erie County executive, is there on the scene. It was a propeller plane, we're also being told, and the producer's trying to tell me something else. Athan, what were you saying? Okay, we're being told that a Dash 8 does fly that route. We don't know if that was a Dash 8 plane or not, but the Dash 8 does fly. It's a propeller plane, and it does fly from Newark to Buffalo. Again, this did happen a little after 10 o'clock tonight. The area, folks, where this happened...
That was the initial report about Continental... flight that went down with Beverly Eckert, the 9/11 widow who was a skeptic, met with President Obama just last week at the White House with other victims' families. But this crash, which I find is suspicious, now we're being told that it did not nosedive into the ground as initially reported, but it actually just kind of hit flat, which is rather unusual. There were reports of icing, but now there's other reports that icing wasn't a factor. It's very reminiscent of another plane crash just a few weeks ago, and that one was a news report about that particular plane crash.
Conspiracy theorists in Washington, D.C. to say that an Ohio man with White House connections was actually murdered this weekend. New at 6. Here's Night Connect News investigator Scott Tanner to tell us if it's true or not.
Well, this sounds like a made-up story. One man rigging state elections to help his boss, President George Bush. After it's done, power players in Washington say, get rid of the guy. Do I believe it? No, for now.
45-year-old Michael Connell died Friday night after his plane crashed into this vacant house near Union Township in Stark County. Connell was a political power player in Washington, D.C. and in the White House. He was the vision behind President George Bush's and John McCain's internet sites. Initial reports say bad weather could have played a part in the crash.
I guess the plane just flew apart.
Some in Washington have a different opinion. The website Velvet Revolution believes someone sabotaged Connell's plane.
It appears he was trying to land the plane here. He hit a large flagpole, and then he struck the house.
Velvet Revolution claims to have been tipped off that Connell's life was in danger. Who was threatening Connell? According to the website, a senior advisor of President Bush, Karl Rove. Some say Connell was about to reveal embarrassing details involving senior members of the Bush administration, including their involvement in destroying incriminating emails and rigging elections. Connell died on impact and was only 3 miles away from the Akron Canton Airport. He was an experienced pilot. Was it an accident or murder?
It's really hard to believe. I really don't know the full story of it. I just heard what I've seen in the paper and on the news.
I spoke to Michael's family today in person. They are grieving. A visitation is planned for tonight. Many from his neighborhood say this was a very good man who donated his time to the worldwide community and loved his family very much. Scott Taylor, Night Connection News.
Okay, well, there you have it. That was the story about Mike Connell. One thing to remember, I want everyone to understand, there are a lot of websites and reporters and journalists who have connections to Mr. Soros. Mr. Soros is beginning to look like a James Bond villain to me. These people who are funded by this Soros character I have seen it time in and time out. They muddy stories. They smother stories. They divert attention. They suppress actual evidence, manufacture phony information. You heard that in that story that the Velvet Revolution, very murky ties with that organization. We know some of the others out there that are gatekeepers, supposedly progressives. They're not really. They get their money from Soros. Look, I Daily Kos, Democratic Underground. This list can go on and on. Huffington Post. There's some people out there also that take on stories. I'd love to go into more details, but you know, I have to be careful about slander. I know what I know. I know from my own experiences. I know from what people have told me who these individuals are. They know who they are. They know who they are. They and they'll be on this case now and this plane crash, and they will come out with all kinds of cockamamie theories, acting like they're coming at this from the progressive liberal side. They're not. They're in this just like those on the right wing. Who are funded by these individuals to muddy the waters, destroy evidence, manufacture information. This is their way. This is how they deal with these things. And we have to be really careful about it. Well, anyway, let's go to Mike, who I know has been holding on in Ottawa. Mike, are you with us?
Hello, Wayne.
Hello. Hi, Mike.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Okay, Wayne.
Thanks for calling.
As far as the Dash 8, it's an extremely reliable aircraft. I think it was just the icing, that's all. Anyway, what I wanted to call you about was my concerns as a Canadian watching this Obama guy. This
yes.
man is a fascist.
Well, I'll tell you, with some of the people he's appointed to his administration, I have some real problems. Susan Rice at the UN, she has coddled most of the dictators over there. Now a report today that Rahm Emanuel's brother, Dr.
Sorry, I can barely hear you, sir.
Yes, now we have a report today that Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, who's Rahm Emanuel's brother, is now a White House policy advisor on health care. So now we see nepotism, we see corporatism, we see all the signs, of course, of what could be nascent fascism. Nepotism is one of the key elements in a fascist
type
of government.
This man is a narcissist and a megalomaniac.
I like to think what I don't understand
about you people, sir.
Yeah.
200 years ago, you took on the world's biggest superpower. And you beat the living snot out of them.
Right.
Why aren't you standing up now?
Well, I'll tell you, there are some who are, but most
200
Americans...
years ago, you took on Britain.
That's
bunch
right.
A bunch of peasant farmers took on the world's biggest superpower. And you beat them.
But you know that most Americans sit in front of their telescreens today.
Yeah, watching.
They watch American Idol. They watch all these other idiotic. Of course, you know, the only part to beat the unions, the actors' unions, the musician unions, the writers' unions. None of those people are paid those appearances.
Something.
Yes.
Clear cut. You have a constitution, good, bad, or indifferent. It's the law. Correct?
Right. That's right. But we've seen the last 8 years that Constitution even being called a scrap of paper by the previous president.
A scrap of paper?
That's right.
Who said that?
That was George W. Bush.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes.
He said that?
Yes, he did. He was quoted as saying that when the issue of his unconstitutional moves after 9/11, he said, don't wave that GD piece of paper in my face. This was a quote attributed to him, but we know that he made jokes about being a dictator. Here,
good, bad, or indifferent.
Pardon?
It's the law, right?
It is the law.
Good,
they all
bad,
take
or indifferent. It is the law.
That's right. They all take an oath to uphold it.
Okay, but, so 200 years ago, you guys raised your guns and took on a superpower. Why aren't you doing something now?
Well, our founders, of course, Jefferson, Madison, Patrick Henry, and Abraham Lincoln, whose 200th birthday we just celebrated 2 days ago, all stated that that, in fact, might have to happen if we were to come under a dictatorial government, a tyrannical government. But, you know, ask how many people in this country anything about Abraham Lincoln, and all they'll tell you is that he was some guy that wore a stovepipe hat and had a beard. They don't know anything else about him.
Sir, how is it that I know more about Abraham Lincoln than most of your people?
The lack of...
That's
a
fucking joke.
Yeah, well... Let's watch out. We may be going out on the airwaves here, but we do have issues with education in this country, and people just aren't, you know, the students are not being taught American history properly. But anyway, Mike, thanks for your call from Canada, and let's go to Deborah, who's been holding on from Baltimore. Deborah, are you
hey.
With us?
Hey, Wayne, how are you?
Yes, good, good, good.
I'm running for Congress as an independent.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
I sent you the email. I don't know if you got it.
Yes, I did. And you're running, which district is that up in the Baltimore area?
It's going to be the 7th district.
And who's the incumbent there now?
Well, if I'm an independent, it's Cummings and, what's his name? His name just
Cummings,
slipped my mind.
Oh, you're running against Elijah Cummings?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, he's what I you know, I mean, he's one of these members of Congress who, you know, he'll pipe up one day, you know, in one hearing he'll pipe up and act indignant, and then you'll not hear from him for months. He won't.
Yeah, kind of like a lot of them on the left side, you know.
Yeah. Well, very similar to John Conyers. You know, John Conyers said he issued a subpoena for Karl Rove to testify, and he said he was prepared to have him arrested by U.S. Marshals, and I don't know what happened to it. I mean,
we're at 3 subpoenas now? 3.
Yes, and Conyers will not do what he's always brought. You know, Conyers is one of these guys.
Oh, I can't stand
him. You know, bark is worse than his bite. Yes, I mean, he's, if you can believe it, his bark, you know, I mean, he's, if he had done his job properly, there would have been impeachment articles passed in the House, and hopefully we would have seen a trial of George Bush and Dick Cheney in the Senate. He failed.
I remember being at the White House as he's delivering those.
Exactly, I mean.
And that was, what, 2 years ago now?
That's right. That's right. And I'll tell you, I talked to people who work for Conyers. I said, he needs to remember his boss back in 1974, who was Chairman Peter Rodino, who did get the articles of impeachment on Richard Nixon. And Conyers was a member of that committee then. And, I mean, he's obviously forgotten everything about what happened then. Of course, Bush, Nixon looks pretty darn good compared to Bush these days.
Looks like pikers.
Yes, exactly.
But the other thing is, and people really need to understand this, and I thank that call from Canada who was, you know, rather indignant and rightfully so. You know, there are not enough people out here that are really willing to take on the status quo. I am. That's why I will run as an independent, because I think both parties are just completely corrupted at this point. The other point I wanted to kind of run past you is in that same plane crash that killed the 9/11 widow, there was a Rwanda genocide expert.
Oh, yes. I mentioned Alison DeForge, who I met her at a symposium in Harvard some years ago, but She was criticized in the beginning for being too understanding of the Rwandan President Kagame, the guy who engineered the attack on the aircraft in 1994 that triggered that plane was carrying the
I know I had read that article, and I've read all your books, and that was just
yes.
a fascinating piece that's just been, you know, memory hold.
Right. Well, and isn't it ironic that DeForge dies in a plane crash? I mean, but she was very critical. She became very critical of Kagame because for a lot of people, they need to take a look at this guy over a period of years. There were certainly journalists in Belgium and Britain who were giving Kagame a free pass, and now they're very critical of him. They know that this guy Kagame is a thug. He's a dictator, and he does send teams out to silence his opponents in Africa and around the world. He has a long reach, and I think that the fact that a critic who was quoted in the Washington Post the morning after that plane crash. I mean, there is a motive that is sabotaged. We have, you know, it's state-sponsored terrorism. We know that Kagame attacked. And it was called international terrorism by a French judge. He attacked with missiles, surface-to-air missiles, the plane carrying the presidents of Rwanda and Burundi
that
wound
correct.
Up triggering
and thanks to your journalistic integrity,
yes.
that got out.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was, you know, when I first wrote the book and I first spoke about it. Actually, I testified in Paris before Judge Bruguière, his investigation. I also provided testimony and written statements to the Spanish investigation. Both of those wound up with indictments, not against Kagame because he's the head of state, but against many of his ringleaders and his closest associates. But we've got an international terrorist in Rwanda, and we have a critic who dies in a plane crash. Now,
Wellstone?
It's possible. You look at the history of plane crashes, people say, well, why would people kill 49 or 50 people? It was one person in the home that died. Other people. Deborah, if you could just hold on after this short break, and we'll wrap this up on the plane crash. Okay. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report. We'll be right back with you after this break. Okay, welcome back. Let's go back to the phones, and we've got Deborah from Baltimore joining us. And I just wanted to say one other thing about these plane crashes. It's been suggested, if this is sabotage, why would they kill a lot of innocent people if they were after one or two passengers? Well, let's just think back to 1972. United Airlines plane flying from Washington to Midway Airport in Chicago goes down with the wife of E. Howard Hunt, the Watergate, somebody who was also implicated in the Kennedy assassination and the Bay of Pigs and a whole bunch of other nefarious operations. His wife goes down on
that
plane.
And I had a math teacher on that plane, and that was back when they could watch their takeoff. Remember that?
Oh, yes, yes. And then we had, of course, we had John Tower, who was the chairman of the Tower Commission, investigated Bush for Iran-Contra. His plane goes down and kills his daughter. His daughter was helping him on a book tour. Apparently, Tower was quite upset with George H.W. Bush, but they killed, I think, over 40 people on that flight that went down in Georgia. So, yes, we know this has happened time in and time out. From
Salim
bin
Laden, who financed George Bush's first disastrous oil venture.
Exactly. So, Omar Torrijos, his helicopter went down in Panama after he threatened to,
he was a lovely man, too, actually.
Yes. I mean, we could go on and on with all these. We've got Carnahan in Missouri and Wellstone, of course. We mm-hmm. don't forget United Auto Workers President Walter Reuther, who was considered very liberal, very progressive. He went down in a plane crash.
Even more recently, Wayne, the people that were on that plane that skimmed off the Hudson River that actually lived.
A lot of bankers on board. I think, and we know that the NTSB cooks the books on these investigations. Look what they did with TWA 800.
Oh,
what
the
did
one
they
that
do
was
with
shot.
Right, Egypt Air 990, and the final chapter hasn't been written on Egypt Air 990, that where the pilot and co-pilot were struggling to regain control of the aircraft, like it had been, something had taken over the control.
Well, they've had that technology for quite some time. Dov Zakian knows very well about it. I mean, you know.
Exactly. And
that's part of my platform. I mean, truth for 9/11 and truth for all of this. Uncover it all. The whole thing crumbles. We need a total revolution in this country.
Oh, absolutely.
People are going to sleep at the wheel.
It's true. And, you know, unfortunately, we've got a couple more martyrs here in the last couple of days. I think maybe what we need to do is we need to be able to see the passenger list before we get on a plane on that flight. And I certainly wouldn't blame anyone for refusing to get on a flight that I'm getting on board, because I was threatened by Kagame before I went. I was supposed to testify in Arusha at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, as Ms. DeForge had several times in the past. I did not go because of the threats made against me by an African intelligence service. But
thank God you didn't.
Yes.
You're too valuable to lose at this point. I would love to be able to call on you for your expert knowledge on so many things.
Okay. Well, thank you, and I hope you have luck on your congressional race, and hopefully you'll be the member of Congress from the 7th District of Maryland. Thank you, and this will wrap it up for this week. Join us this time next week for Wayne Madsen from Washington, D.C.